The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 30, Mercy. One day, the teacher and I went for a walk along the dry canyon of the Costa River. In some places, spring gushed out of the ground, and the water in them was invigorating and icy. As always, the teacher moved very quickly. There were no distances or obstacles for him. All of us were following the great sage with concentration, stretching out in a small chain. Despite the fast pace, I had time to admire the beauty around me, and there was a lot to see. We were moving along one of the most beautiful places in the vicinity of Sochi, the sources of the Costa River at the Alekhtsu mountain range. On its slopes grew relict forests and dense thickets of boxwood. The vegetation was so dense that it was as if we were in a tropical jungle. I suddenly had the amazing feeling that I was transported to thousands and even millions of years ago, when life in all its diversity was just beginning on our planet. The realization took my breath away. After a while, a dry waterfall appeared ahead. When I first heard this word combination, I was very surprised. How can a waterfall be dry? It turned out to be simple. There used to be water here, but a long time ago. Time passed, and the stream dried up, and the place where for many years the water had been hollowing out of the stone, falling in a beautiful cascade from the top of the mountain gorge, remained. Now, the dry waterfall looked like small stone rapids, which resembled low beveled steps of a ladder. They had long been overgrown with moss and grass, and the stone was cracked, but still had rounded edges. We did not go up the dry waterfall, but went around it to the left, going down into the majestic, picturesque dry canyon, which was formed as a result of tectonic plate shifts that happened in ancient times, when humanity was not yet in sight. Jagged, layered rocks rose in monolithic columns, and in some places even hanging over us, giving us the amazing feeling that we were touching a deep gray antique. Here and there, the rocks were covered with bright green moss, and relict trees grew sporadically on the slopes. Tuning into the subtle plane, I touched the rocks with my palm, running my fingers over the cool, smooth stone surface. My fingertips began to tingle, and it seemed that a large amount of energy was gathered here. The teacher said that this canyon became dry when the river made a new channel under the ground. Now, at the bottom of the canyon, we would go freely. No water was there. Here and there, blocks of stone jutted out of the ground, and we easily stepped over them and moved on. In some places, the gorge was very narrow, and as I passed among its high, smooth walls, I suddenly thought with horror what would happen here during the rain. I immediately remembered that something similar had already happened to our group during mountain walks. I remembered how we tied a rope around each other and held on to each other and the branches of the trees, because it was simply impossible to resist the raging elements alone. I knew very well that if it rained now, we would be washed away in a moment by a torrent of raging water, because there would be nothing to catch on to. But thank God, the weather was dry, and we walked calmly on the smooth bottom. The teacher knew these places thoroughly, every turn, every descent and ascent, and every cave. By the way, there were many different caves in the vicinity of the Costa. These included, for example, the famous Vorontsovskaya Cave, which later became a famous tourist attraction. But apart from it, there were many others that were almost impossible to see. The entrances to the caves could not be seen from afar, and only by knowing exactly where they were could they be found. We got to one of these caves by climbing a couple of dry waterfalls in boxwood thickets and turning right. The entrance to it was very low, and to get inside, we had to make our way along the passage for some time, bending over. When we entered the cave, we almost immediately heard the roar of water. The sounds reverberated from the vaults and gave rise to beautiful echoes. After walking a few steps forward through a narrow tunnel, we found ourselves in a fairly wide grotto. Here, the stone vault became higher, and we were able to fully straighten up. In some places, stalactite icicles hung from the cave ceiling. And then we saw the Costa that was flowing under the ground. It was an amazing sight! A river that had made its way through the stone. For a while, we stood mesmerized and looked at the stormy waters before which the rocky firmament turned out to be powerless. The river current was very fast at this point, rushing through the underground channel, splashing into the protruding rocks. There was a special and mysterious atmosphere here. The familiar world with bright sunlight was left somewhere far behind. We were surrounded by the gloom, pleasant coolness, and the ever-present hum of the underground river. Throughout our journey today, I reflected on the path that humanity has taken on Earth. Years, centuries, millennia have passed, and people continue to exist, being born and dying in an endless cycle. What is the meaning of all this? A person is born, develops, discovers the world, and learns. And for what? When we came out of the cave, I decided to talk to the great sage about it. What is the meaning of life? I asked the teacher. The fact is that a person has five meanings according to the number of their centers, and two more of those centers that are not yet available to them. The sage replied, take the mental center, for example. Its purpose is the knowledge of themselves and life. But instead, they are engaged in entertaining themselves and other centers. Dreams, painful fantasies, gambling, memories, gossip, empty chatter. And they litter themselves with television, unnecessary videos, garbage from the internet, and so on and so forth. It is a great sin to occupy the mind with this nonsense instead of learning. People must either turn off the mind or think about something useful, constructive, create something, and perform other useful activities. Instead of knowing, the mind becomes the object of suggestion by adults, teachers, and politicians, and a false personality is formed in a person, according to which they begin to live, forgetting that they are children of God. They begin to think that they are communists, fascists, Muslims, Orthodox Christians, and so on and so forth, and live someone else's fictional life. A person should study a false identity first of all, in order to get rid of what they are not. Here, on our way, there was a rapid in a form of a gutter. The men helped everyone pass through this difficult place, and we continued our conversation. The meaning of the emotional center is love. It knows life through emotions, and it is the main driving force of a person. The mind can only point the way to emotions, but it cannot really know anything without them. It is very bad if a person's love is closed only on themselves or their family. Then there is the ego and the whole spectrum of negative emotions: jealousy, envy, fear, greed, and so on. A person should love themselves because they are also a part of God and life. But they should love God and everything around them more. Then they will have sublime emotions, and they will know the world and God and the truth with their heart. The teacher explained, "The mind cannot know God. Only the heart knows His grace. But university does not teach you how to know yourself and how to develop sublime emotions. Art, which is supposed to educate the heart, teaches only selfishness, jealousy, fear, greed, and malice through stupid movies, soap operas, books, and the like. Since it is the art that forms our emotional center, it is necessary to be involved in spiritual art in order to develop it. And if there were no spiritual teacher, the world would be doomed, and no one would be able to get out of this dream, out of this social hypnosis, and become what a person should and can be, like Buddha." Then we came to a stone blockage. Huge boulders blocked the narrow passage of the gorge. They were piled on top of each other in a chaotic manner, and it was obvious that the blockage was old, since the surface of the stones in many places was green and covered with patches of moss. I had to crawl around the blockage, getting on all fours and holding onto the sharp ledges to prevent myself from falling. "What about other centers? What is their meaning?" Serena asked, as we all made our way through a difficult section of the road. "And then there are the instinctive and motor centers, movement center. Their meaning is survival, finding and digesting food, building a home, protecting the body, and so on. But the fact is that without proper functioning of these centers, it is impossible to become like Buddha. They will interfere with development. If a person eats too much and eats unhealthily, if they do not lead a healthy lifestyle, then the work of these centers will be unhealthy, and they will distort the workings of the emotions and the mind. A sound mind in a sound body. It is also important that the motor center learns the truth. The true state for it would be when the energy flows correctly in it. And to direct it correctly, Hatha Yoga, sacred dances, the ones Gurdjieff used, ancient martial arts such as Wushu and Tai Chi, which teach you to control energy through movement, breathing, and concentration of attention. The correct movement of energy affects both the mind and emotions and creates the basis for enlightenment. Without proper work with the body, development is impossible. It will come to a dead end. Then we came to an impenetrable waterfall, and there was no way around it. Then the men climbed on it, and we climbed up the rope to the place where the gorge continued. Now your body is developing. The difficulties that we are overcoming, plus the wild nature, tune the movement of energy in the body. What's the purpose of the sexual center? Asked the ever-anxious Vadim. In addition to the simplest, that is, reproduction, this center has a very unusual function, explained the sage. The fact is that it works with the most subtle creative energy, and this energy can create not only a new body, it creates very vivid impressions that nourish the soul, and also contributes to art and creativity, if it is not haplessly released in pollutions and orgasms, as well as in sick sexual imagination. It is Kundalini energy, and it should be directed up when aroused during Tantra to open all the chakras. When it reaches the emotional center, it can generate the highest degrees of exalted emotions. And when it rises to Sahasrara, it starts its work, and a person knows God. But to do this, you need to study Tantra. However, there is also a dangerous rise in this energy when a person is not ready, and they are driven by a false personality and ego. If this energy then rises to the emotional center, it will generate very strong negative emotions, anger, jealousy, envy, and resentment. And people can commit various crimes, even murders, urged by these emotions. And if this happens to a large group of people under the influence of destructive ideas, then there will be wars, revolutions, inquisitions, anti-cult movements, terrorism, and rebellions. This is a very dangerous force that can also destroy everything. For if it rises to the intellectual center, then a person may become paranoid or insane.
Did they go crazy? Denise said.
That is right, said the teacher. But there are people who can maintain their sanity by hiding their insanity and engaging the crowd with their paranoia. People such as Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, inquisitors, and terrorists. That is, everyone who wants to solve the problem using violence. This is the criterion, whether the idea is true or not. If there is violence in it, if ahimsa is violated, then this is a very dangerous idea, and often the problem itself is an illusion, as inquisitors fear witches and cultists, who are actually just believers, but believe in something else, and because of this, they want to destroy them. Now, we have come to an amazing place where objects can be easily materialized with the help of sexual energy, said the teacher. The teacher spread his hands, and we all looked at the sage curiously. What happened next captured our imagination. It was real magic that the great sage was doing before our eyes. First, a whitish haze of mist appeared between his fingers. It quickly began to thicken, wrapping around his hands so that for a moment they were not visible. Then the mist began to move, flowing smoothly from one shape to another, and finally formed a small ring. We watched, astonished, as the ethereal mist thickened and became solid. In the next instant, the haze completely disappeared, and the ring formed from it flashed its golden surface. The teacher calmly took it in his hand and showed it to us.
That's gold! Vadim exclaimed. Let's materialize gold bars and be rich!
A waste of Kundalini energy, the teacher said. Money can give nothing, neither health, nor youth, nor the grace of God, nor spiritual development. And this energy gives it all. And so, it should be directed to important goals. For money is only needed to help the disadvantaged. It is not needed for anything else. In this ring, I materialized for Roxana. Take it and wear it on your ring finger. You're a priestess now.
I, beaming with happiness and not believing that this is happening to me, put on the ring. Everyone started laughing and cheering, hugging each other and congratulating me on this achievement. Returning back, we were so immersed in a wonderful enlightenment state and felt so much energy in ourselves that we wanted to share it immediately, do something useful for people, and transmit this state to the whole world. I want to help old people. Many pensioners in our country live below the poverty line, Vadim suddenly said. They've been working all their life, and what have they achieved? They receive a ridiculous pension, which is barely enough for bread, medication, and utility bills. We could make life easier for them. We would come to them help them, and buy food. I remember that an old lady would always stand at the store, dressed very poorly, but neatly, always in clean clothes. She would ask for a handout. I suddenly remembered, and it was clear that she really was in need and wouldn't buy a drink around the corner. If we could help people in need like her, it would be so great.
That's right, said Brother Agni warmly. And we can also help children in orphanages, bringing them toys, clothes, and food. We nodded eagerly, encouraged by the opportunity to do good and useful deeds. To make the emotional center work properly, the main thing is not to do it just physically, but to do it with love and compassion in the heart, giving our warmth to the unfortunate, spreading to everyone around your mercy. The great sage said, that is when our lives will change for the better, not through violence, as politicians do, but through love. These instructions of the teacher were firmly embedded in our heads. We learned to do good without expecting gratitude. It turned out to be very pleasant. The soul was filled with light energy. We felt an emotional lift, and each time we felt a calm joy and reward from the fact that we were able to make this world a little kinder and to bring love into it. We wanted to do more, but we were well aware that we could not help everyone in need. But we were always happy to show mercy. We helped old people who were left alone at the end of their lives, poor families who were in difficult situation, children who never knew parental love, and those who were in mortal danger. I will never forget the eyes of the children from the orphanage, to whom we gave the opportunity to understand what it was like to feel care and love. Serena, Brother Agni, and I started going to the orphanage about once a week. We brought food, toys, and sometimes clothes, and each time we stayed there for a while just to talk to the children. At first, the kids behaved stiffly, as if they were answering our questions under constraint, like small, wild animals that were on the alert at every moment of time. They did not relax for a second, as if they were waiting for some dirty trick. But there was no catch, and they gradually thawed out, beginning to tell us about themselves, to open up. During each visit, we felt that the children were waiting for us, and not even because we brought them things. We were sincerely interested in their concerns, and every time we tried to give everyone something special. For example, we brought a set of professional paints to Artyom, who dreamed of becoming an artist, and Masha, who was interested in needlework, was given a set with threads for embroidery. You should have seen the kids' eyes. They shone with genuine delight and sincere gratitude. They brightened up, feeling our warmth and care. We never missed an opportunity to help people who needed our help. One day, when we stopped at the store on our way to the orphanage, we saw an old woman in a flowered headscarf standing
at the checkout counter and counting change with shaking hands to buy a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk. The cashier stared at her as she was unable to find the right amount. We were next at the checkout, and there was a long queue behind us. People started to get nervous, and there were exclamations of discontent. Finally, the old woman regretfully asked the cashier to put back the milk, as she did not have enough money. We just could not stay away. We went up to the old lady and started talking to her and offered to buy her food. She was so surprised and could not believe it was possible for someone to just walk up and offer to help. And when we bought a whole bag of food for her, there were tears in her eyes. Every time we showed mercy, we involuntarily remembered the words of the teacher. Hurry up, for good deeds and kindness will save the world, he admonished us. We live in hell, and the main purpose of life is to help other people develop and live better in order to reduce the suffering of this world.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.